Well, our own St. Paul said this in 2 Timothy 3:16. He said, "All scripture is useful for teaching and correcting." Useful, he said. He never said that it was perfect, or the word some people like, inerrant. He didn't say that. He never said it was clear or complete or all you need. He didn't say that. He said it was useful. Now, a couple years ago, I told you about a seminary class I was taking called Biblical Interpretation. You probably remember this, like it was yesterday, right, Charlie? The author of one of our textbooks said this, quote, "Despite naive views to the contrary, the Bible was not handed down by God as a complete package, but rather was the result of many decisions made by many people over the course of centuries," end quote. Now, having said all that, there are certainly things in the Bible that provide us with clear principles. I usually refer to these things as foundational. Things such as Jesus is our Lord and Savior, right? He came to seek and save us. He's the final judge of our salvation. He's our perfect advocate in heaven. And this is maybe my favorite and perhaps the most important, he, Jesus, is the perfect reflection of God the Father. Now, if you noticed our church sign out front over the last couple of weeks or so, it simply says this. Anybody notice? It says Hebrews 1:3. That's what's on our sign out front. Hebrews 1:3. I was hoping that it would prompt someone, anyone, maybe somebody driving by or walking by, riding their bike by, to look that verse up. This is what it says. Quote, "The Son," S-O-N, "the Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being." End quote. And also, don't forget, Jesus himself said in John 14:9, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." You know, and there's more. There's more than that, but these things are clearly stated and are foundational to us as Christians. Things like that. But then let's face it, there's also a lot, and I mean a lot, in the Bible that is subject to what? Interpretation. That's why you have a class, Biblical Interpretation, right? Things that are pretty confusing and even mysterious. Absolutely, absolutely. In 2011, Rowan Williams, who was the Archbishop of Canterbury, delivered a sermon on the 400th anniversary of the King James translation of the Bible. I read the entire text of that sermon for that class I mentioned, and I have to admit, it was a really good sermon. But boy, that separates the men from the boys. That was a good sermon. He starts out by saying this about reading the Bible. He says that the purpose is not necessarily to read it and then to say, "Oh, now I understand it." No, no. The purpose of the Bible, he said, is to draw the reader in, to invite them in, to read it again, to probe it, to reflect on it, and to imagine, to get the reader to imagine what it means. He says there is never just one perfect translation or interpretation. that there is a, quote, range of meanings. And he says, it is the meanings that we must seek. Not the literal words as processed by our brains, our limited human intellect, our simple minds. No, because the meanings in the Bible are the communications of an infinite mind, an infinite love. The meanings, think of this, good. The meanings in the Bible are the communications of God. And the Archbishop acknowledges that the meanings can be bewildering and even mysterious, but they're always inviting, drawing you in. He says this, quote, the Bible is an invitation to come closer, to find something new, and to be changed by the almost unbearable weight of God's wisdom and love. End quote. Ugh, right? Pretty good stuff. Okay. But then if you're a simple guy like me, right, you say, wait a minute. There's something missing, though. There's something missing. Because we've been given our limited minds, our limited, you know, own understanding to seek this infinite meaning. That doesn't seem fair. That doesn't seem fair. And yet we're told to keep seeking. And it says, you will find. But how? How's that possible? We're also clearly told by Solomon, King Solomon, Mr. Wisest Man that ever lived, in Proverbs chapter 3, we're told to lean not on your own understanding. Remember? Don't do it. It won't get you there. And our own St. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He says, for now we know only in part, and we see only like reflections in a mirror. Yeah? Okay, so our finite, limited minds versus the infinite mind of God. That's what we're up against. So how do we find that true meaning? How do we find the truth? And what really is true? Well, I don't always know, and neither do you. But we should be asking the question, what did Jesus say was the truth? It's a good question. What did Jesus say was the truth? He said he was the truth. That's a good place to start. He said he was the truth. In John 14:6, he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. He said he was the truth. And so that brings us finally to our lesson for today, which is from our gospel reading we heard from Mary. How can we discern the meanings that come from the infinite mind and infinite love of God? How can we do it? How can we do it without just, you know, leaning on our own understanding? How can we do it if we're only seeing reflections as in a mirror? Well, in his farewell discourse from the Gospel of John, Jesus gave us the answer. He gave us the answer to these questions. He revealed the missing piece of the puzzle. The piece that bridges that gap between the finite and the infinite. In John chapter 14, Jesus promised that he would send the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to be, not to just be with us, but to be within us. Verse 17 says, the Spirit lives with you and will be in you. He said, I will not leave you alone, because that wouldn't be fair. Now I added that part. But that's what he meant, right? He said, I will not leave you as orphans. Right? That wouldn't be fair. And then you remember the story from the day of Pentecost? It said the Spirit didn't just fill the space they were in, it filled them. The Spirit was in them. And then listen to what Jesus said in chapter 14, John chapter 16, verse 13. Now listen to this. Because this is one of those clearly stated and foundational principles that's really important to remember. When the Spirit of truth comes, I'm quoting here, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you to the truth. I mean, there it is. There it is. That's the answer, the missing link. How do our limited minds discern the infinite meaning of the wisdom and love of God? God will himself guide us there. So, in closing, you know, be careful when we want to decide on our own what the truth is. You know, based on maybe a handful of Bible verses that we can use to condemn other people, right? It's always to condemn other people, never ourselves, right? It's always the log in somebody else's eye, never our own, right? We need to avoid that. We got to be careful about that. Just slow down a little bit. Slow it down. Stay in the Word of God, in the Bible, absolutely. But through prayer, meditation, careful consideration, let the Spirit of God guide us to the truth. Notice the wording there quickly. The Spirit dwells within us. It doesn't possess us. It's not an evil spirit that takes us over. We never lose our free will. That's what love is. Love is free will, having free will. The Spirit guides us, doesn't drag us to the truth. That's the difference. The Spirit will guide us to the truth. We still have to do the work. And it's not easy. And how will we know it? How do we know it when we see it? How do we know the truth when we see it? The truth will be Christ-like. It will look like Jesus. It will feel like Jesus because he is the truth. And the truth will be good. The truth will be good and it will bear good fruit. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23, our own St. Paul says this, the fruit of the Spirit is this, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Jesus Christ sent us the Spirit. We celebrate it today, and we should celebrate it every day. So be filled with it, be guided by it, and bear the fruits of it. Amen.